Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 as I read the scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 21 is the passage that I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. Follow along and listen to what the Lord says through his word this morning. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 15. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will become like his glorious body. At different stages in my life, I've had role models that I've looked up to for different reasons. And it usually happens quite naturally, doesn't it? It might have happened the same way to you with any role models that that you may have had in your life, because the people around us affect us. People around us affect our lives in many ways, especially the ones that we spend the majority of our time with. And so you've probably noticed this before, but when someone becomes a role model for you, you suddenly find yourself picking up certain mannerisms that they have, certain phrases that they use, certain ways of speaking. You may even find yourself laughing like they do, you know. Those types of things happen. We pick up attitudes and mindsets from the people around us. Now, I've had several teachers that I've looked up to as role models in the past. But the one that I really think has had the greatest effect on me was a man named Al Baker, Dr. Baker, from Northeastern Bible College. That was my theology and Bible professor there at Northeastern. And Dr. Baker had this incredible passion for the Scriptures, and I know that some here were at Northeastern at the same time I was. I didn't know who they were at the time, but they were there. And I took every class that Dr. Baker offered, you know, that he taught. And actually, I took a church history class with him, and I was so enthralled in the topic of church history because of his passion for it that for a fleeting moment I thought about majoring in church history. And I'm glad I didn't at this point, but I thought about it for a second, right? I've told you about Pastor Frank Valeriano, my pastor in New Jersey, the first pastor that I sat under, just really a tremendous role model for me and still is to this day. He's retired out in Montana, and I still call him and talk to him from time to time. He's the guy that married Beth and I, and I still consider him a role model. Now, the flip side to that coin, and as good as having those people can be, the flip side to that coin is that there can also be role models in our lives that affect us, but not for good. They affect us in negative ways, and I'm not proud of it, but I have my high school yearbook on my shelf, and you know, you have to fill out this questionnaire at the beginning of the year of all the things that you were involved with, and then you get to give your quote. What do you want to be remembered for? Right? So my quote was, Buck Dharma forever. And Buck Dharma was the guitarist in this band that I was really into at the time. And I look back at that now, and I think, what a waste, you know. Now, thankfully, it wasn't too many months later that I actually became a believer, and things changed. But this type of thing happens at colleges and universities all the time. Christian kids that were brought up in Christian homes go to school, and they sit under the teachings of a science professor who is anything but a godly example, and they mock the Scriptures, and they mock Christianity, and suddenly something appeals to a college student, and they begin to follow those types of things. And Christian students all the time are having their faith shipwrecked by professors who make an impression on them, but it's an impression in a negative way. And their confidence in the Scriptures and their confidence in God just seems to go away. And it happens with our peers as well. We look up to the cool kids, And don't just say, oh, well, that happens in high school. It happens to all of us, even at our age as we get older, because they're popular and well-liked, and we want to be associated with them. We want to always be associated with the cool kids, right? Well, Paul knew this, and he knew that there were influences for both good and bad in the lives of these Philippian people. He recognized that. He also knew that the people they chose to follow would in many ways determine the direction that their lives would take. Who would they associate themselves with? Who would they say, that's my role model, that's who I want to follow? He knew that the people that they chose to follow would determine the directions that their lives would take. And we have to recognize that it's probably the same for us. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said what? He said, bad company corrupts good morals. It's true for people of all ages. We've seen it in the lives of children, we've seen it in the lives of teenagers, but we've also seen it happen in the lives of many adults, haven't we? Because here's what we know. We know that you often become like the people with whom you spend the majority of your time. It's just generally true. You become like the people with whom you spend the majority of your time. And with that in mind, Paul is going to tell these Philippian believers, and he's going to tell us at the same time, in no uncertain terms, that there is a clear and obvious choice when it comes to choosing the role models that we follow. Because we know this as well, that there are both good and bad role models that we can choose to follow. And Paul is going to encourage us, this is no surprise, he's going to encourage us to follow the good ones. Look how he starts out in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 of chapter 3. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. He starts by saying, all of us who are mature. Now, your translation may say the word perfect if you're reading the King James or the New American Standard Bible. But I like that translation in the NIV a little bit better, mature. At first, that statement from Paul struck me as just a little bit prideful. At first, I kind of thought that Paul might be saying, follow me, because I've got it all together. I figured it all out. I've got it all together. But we know that's not what he was saying, right? I had to go back to the preceding verses that we just looked at a few weeks ago to recognize that that's not what Paul was saying at all. In those verses, Paul told us, I have not arrived spiritually. I don't have it all together. I have not reached my goal. I've not yet taken hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. But I think what he's saying is that he's further along in that process than he previously was, or than he's ever been. He's not saying I've made it, but he's saying I'm making progress. I'm on the right path. He says, you who are mature should take such a view of things. What things is he referring to? I think he's referring to what he's already said in verses 7 through 14. What's he said? He said at least four things in that chapter. First of all, he said, don't trust your own spiritual accomplishments. They're like garbage compared to really knowing Jesus. You who are mature should take such a view of things. Don't trust your past accomplishments. Secondly, put your faith in Jesus and his righteousness will be credited to your account. Verse 9. Take such a view of things if you're a mature believer. Thirdly, strive to really know Jesus personally, not just know about him. You who are mature, take such a view of things. Finally, press on in your faith, not allowing the past to negatively affect your future. These are the thoughts of mature believers, is what Paul is saying in these verses. And he continues, if you don't see it this way right now, don't worry. Keep pressing on towards maturity and God will open your eyes to the truth. That's basically what he says in verses 15 and 16. And so he's going to point out that as we press on toward maturity, it's important that we recognize that there are indeed both good and bad role models. And again, no surprise, but Paul is going to encourage us to follow the good examples, but he's also going to encourage us to avoid the bad examples. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Look at verse 17. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. We've already said that Paul doesn't present himself as being perfect. He's already said, I am not perfect, but follow me as I move closer and closer toward that perfection. That's what he's saying. I like the way that John MacArthur illustrates this point. He says this. He says, suppose I were to set out to climb one of the high, very difficult peaks around the world to scale. Maybe Mount Everest or Mount Kilimanjaro or some other famous mountain that's hard to climb. And let's say I bought all the equipment that I needed. I had all the necessary supplies to climb such a mountain. Ask yourself this question. How beneficial would it be for me to have a helicopter that were to drop another mountain climber at the top of the mountain who could look down on me as I climbed and yell stuff like, I'm up here! Come on up! It's great up! Climb! 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 Come up here! How helpful would that be, right? It would actually be a very little help, wouldn't it? Why? Because he got there by helicopter, right? And he can't really show me the way. He hasn't traveled the same route that I have. He hasn't faced the same challenges. He's not going to be of much help as I climb, facing different things, right? What I need is, I need someone who can say to me, I know the way. I've climbed that mountain before. I've been there. I know the struggles. And here's how maybe I have dealt with it. I know the potential pitfalls that you're going to face along the way. And I know how to deal with the struggles in life that you're going to face. Just watch me. Follow my example. And that's, for us, what in chapter 3 here is what Paul is doing. And a beautiful thing to notice here is that Paul says, you have us as a model. He wasn't the only one who was encouraging these Philippian believers. He wasn't the only one that he was encouraging them to follow. Apparently, there were many. Follow us, he says. We're not perfect. We haven't arrived. We haven't laid hold of that yet for which Christ has laid hold of us. But we're on the path. We have a desire. We have a hunger to know Jesus better. And in fact, everything compared to knowing Jesus is really just dung. And so it's good for us to remember that we ought to follow those who are constantly seeking a more complete and vital relationship with Jesus. It may not be great for us to set up as someone on a pedestal that we think has arrived, because they're always going to let us down. But those who are seeking a more complete, a more vital relationship with Jesus, these are the role models that we want to follow. Those who have a desire to know Christ more. Those who have a teachable spirit. Those whose actions sort of sync up, right, with the words that they use. And these are the kind of people that we want to mimic, that we want to imitate, that we want to follow, that we want to be like. But in verse 18, Paul's going to break the news to the Philippians and to us that not all role models are good ones, right? And just as he encourages us to follow the good examples, he's also going to tell us to avoid the bad examples. Look at verse 18. He says, for I, as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. This should come as no surprise to you, is what he's saying. I've told you this before. Not everyone, even in the church, not everyone is a role model that's worth following. And then he begins at the end of verse 18 to give five characteristics of these bad role models. How do you recognize these people? What do you see in them that would indicate to you that this is maybe not someone that I should be modeling my life after? These are the types of people that Paul says should be avoided at all costs. And so here are five characteristics of bad role models, those that we would do well to avoid. He says, first of all, that they are enemies of the cross. Why are they enemies of the cross? Probably because they minimize what Jesus did there. Remember, we talked about the Judaizers who said, yeah, that stuff about Jesus dying on the cross, paying for people's sins, great stuff. But you got to become Jewish first. You got to keep the law before you can really convert to Jesus. When what has been done on the cross is minimized, that's a role model we don't want to follow. Jesus said, it is finished. The work is done. The price is paid. It's yours but to believe. Enemies of the cross will always minimize Christ's payment for sin by his death on the cross. And if someone minimizes the cross, Paul says they should be avoided at all costs. If someone minimizes human effort over the finished work of Christ on the cross, they should be avoided. They're enemies of the cross. He goes on in verse 4 to give other characteristics of poor role models. Look at verse 19. He says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. The second characteristic of a poor role model after they are enemies of the cross is this idea that they're headed for destruction. Their destiny is destruction, he says in verse 19. Now, have you ever noticed how poor role models almost always seem to be having a good time? We look at that and we say, why is that true? I struggle. And I'm trying to do the right thing. And these people aren't doing anything right. And it seems like they're always having a good time. They always seem to be the ones who are laughing. They always seem to be the ones who are joking. They always seem to be the ones that are living a carefree life. Billy Joel wrote about it in a song. He said, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Only the good die young, right? That just seems to be that way. Oftentimes it seems like they're the ones with all the money, all the really nice stuff, all the popularity. But this verse tells us what their ultimate end will be. And it's not pretty. It's destruction. In this case, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is leading these folks ultimately to heartache, to disappointment, to destruction, to eternal separation from God. These are not the kinds of people that we should be modeling our lives after. Why? Because they are headed for destruction, even though here and now, it may not seem that way. Even though here and now, they may never even acknowledge that. Third characteristic of bad role models is that they're ruled by their appetites. Their God is their stomach. That's what it says. Their God is their stomach. Does that mean that this is only to do with food? I don't think it means that. I think it's referring to the fact that the desires of our flesh are really strong, aren't they? And so often we find it very easy to give in to those desires of the flesh simply because we're still attached to these human bodies. We find ourselves struggling in so many different ways. These are the appetites that I think he's talking about. If you've ever tried to go on a diet, you know how strong the desire for food can be. With the greatest of intentions, we say we're going to cut out that junk food, that we're going to eat more vegetables, right? We're going to cut down on the sweets, but those good intentions are easily sidetracked when your stomach grumbles for the first time, right? I'll just take a little bit. And that leads to more and more. And those, very difficult to set those grumblings aside. All you can think about is food. More specifically, the food that you know you're not supposed to have, right? It's the same in other areas of our lives. We know we shouldn't criticize others to make ourselves look good. But it's so tempting. Somebody throws you a softball, right? To criticize someone else so that you look better. It's an appetite. It's a desire to make myself look good. We know we shouldn't let our anger get the best of us. But it does, because we're going to give them a piece of our mind, doggone it. Those thoughts, those feelings well up inside of us, and it's so hard for us to control. We know we shouldn't be in a relationship with him or her, but we are. We know we shouldn't have those living accommodations, but we do, right? We know there are boundaries in those relationships, but we ignore them because of this flesh that we're still attached to. We know we shouldn't spend money that we don't have. But if you look at the statistics of Americans in debt, it's not good. These are desires of the flesh. There are so many things that we could list, aren't there? But these are the kinds of things that we don't want to be present in our lives. So why would we model our lives after those in which these things are present? Avoid these types of role models. The fourth characteristic of a poor role model that Paul gives is that they're proud of shameful things. Paul says their glory is in their shame. Now, we don't have to think too long or hard in our current society and in our current situation to see people who celebrate shameful and unbiblical behavior all the time. We see people promoting and celebrating open-mindedness, right? When really it's nothing more than justification for behavior that we know is contrary to God and his ways. Oh, you're such a bigot. You're so closed-minded. One road to heaven, they all lead there. Right? Alternative lifestyles is a designation that's used to make sinful behavior acceptable. It's not wrong, it's just different. It's an alternate. You have your lifestyle, let him or her have his. It's an alternate lifestyle. 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah was dealing with the same issue in his day. He said in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You see what he's saying? Woe to those who will say that the opposite of what is good is actually good. We see it in our society all the time. It's a characteristic of a poor role model, Paul says. And these are the types of people that should be avoided at all costs. Even when standing up and doing the right thing is not that easy. Last one, last characteristic of a poor or a bad role model is that they're focused on earthly things. We touched on this when we looked at the fact that the poor role models are ruled by their appetites. But I think this is an easy way for believers to get sidetracked as well. There's a false message out there that emphasizes how Jesus, if you will just let him into your life, he's going to make you happy. And he's going to make you rich. And if you trust him, all of your problems are going to disappear. You'll be wealthy. That's an appealing message, isn't it? But it's not a true message. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. People would make you think that if it's not true in your life that you are healthy, wealthy, and all these different things, that the fault really lies with you. That if you would only follow what I say from the pulpit or something like that. And I don't think there's any denying that all of us would love to have a life like the one that I described. But the truth is that Jesus never promised that. It's a far cry from what Jesus said, that you will have trouble. But he also promised in that his presence. He promised us that he has overcome the world. He promised us that he has a plan and a purpose for everything that he allows in the life of a believer. So if we believe Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Everything. Even those things that are bad. And somehow it's not my fault. It's nearly impossible for us to see that God does have a greater purpose when we are focused on earthly things like happiness and wealth and good health. Paul says that's a characteristic of a bad role model. They are focused on earthly things. And we know this, but our comfort, our happiness, our joy here on earth should not be at the center of our lives. Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. Paul makes that point in the next two verses. He says this, but our citizenship is in heaven. And so those things that happen to us here on earth, we may say, well, that's not very good, but ultimately, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul is saying this world is not our home, so why would we want to follow role models that will only lead us in the pursuit of things that center on this world and only satisfy us temporarily here and now? Why would we want to follow someone that says the here and now is what's really important? Don't have that bigger picture of eternity. Don't think of what it's going to mean at the end of your life. Think about here and now and grab all the gusto you can. Those are the kind of role models that Paul says that we should avoid. Paul knows, he's convinced that Jesus is indeed coming back one day. And when he does, two things are going to happen. First of all, he's going to transform our earthly bodies. These earthly bodies of ours that are so prone towards sin and are so susceptible to disease and to death. He's going to transform these earthly bodies into glorified bodies. Bodies like his own resurrection body. So we're going to be changed physically so that we're not susceptible to those things that I already said, like disease and sickness and death. But we'll also be changed inwardly. We're going to be changed spiritually so that we're finally delivered forever from the curse of sin all the way back there in the garden. How's he going to do that? Verse 21 tells us that it will be by Christ's mighty power, who by the power that enables him, he's going to do it by Christ's mighty power. And that's the second thing that that will happen when Jesus returns. He's going to subject all things to himself. We talked about this back in chapter 2. We said that every knee will bow one day. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some will do so because they're forced to do so. And others will do so because they've submitted themselves to Jesus willingly. Even his enemies one day will bow to Christ. And so we recognize that we have not spiritually arrived. We're still on this journey of spiritual growth that will last our entire time here on earth. He who began that good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the day he returns, we need role models in our lives. We don't need the type of role model who would so stand on the top of that mountain, so to speak, and say, "Hey, I'm perfect. Just be like me." We need the kind who would say, "I'm not perfect. But you know what? Follow the way that I'm moving, because I'm moving in the right direction." But there are role models that will compete with that, who will try to get us to move in the other direction. And these are the ones that we would do well to avoid, the ones who are enemies of the cross, the ones who are headed for destruction, the ones who are ruled by their appetites, the ones who are proud of shameful things, the ones who are focused on earthly things. And I think we would all admit that each one of us is at a different place in our spiritual journey. As I look out, I see some who have been walking with the Lord Jesus for many, many years. You have a rich and long history of walking with Jesus. And what I'd like to encourage you and challenge you to today is that you can be that type of role model that Paul is talking about in this passage this morning. You can be that type of person that says, "I'm not perfect, but I've walked the road that you're walking right now. I know the pitfalls. I know the temptations. I know the tendencies. I know the things that you're going to face. Let me put my arm around you and let's walk together." Others of you are younger in the Lord. You haven't had the blessing of even growing up in a Christian home. You got saved later in life. It's hard for you to even know what it means to walk with Jesus on a daily basis. You didn't go to a Christian school. You didn't attend Sunday school all your life and hear all the stories, memorize all the verses. And this whole walking with Jesus thing is new. You don't have a Bible college education. So where are you? You're walking that path that the rest of us are walking as well. Are you choosing your role models carefully? Are you seeking out people who would show you how to walk the path of faith in an effective way? Are you looking for those who have been walking with the Lord on a consistent basis over the long haul? Are you trying to get them to speak into your life? Are you making yourself available to them? These are the kind of role models that we should be looking for, those who are constantly seeking, as I said at the beginning, a more complete and vital relationship with Jesus. And on the other hand, we need to avoid those who would somehow try to lead us in the opposite direction. But maybe you're in a different position. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a while now and have experience in what it means to truly follow him. Maybe, as I said before, it's time for you to pay it forward. Maybe it's time for you to be that role model for someone else. Maybe it's time to make that transition from student to teacher, from disciple to discipler. But no matter what the case is for any of us, we need, as we saw previously in chapter 3, to press on, as Paul encouraged us to do, to strive for what's ahead of us, to forget the past. Don't let it affect your future negatively. To be a positive role model for a brother and sister in Christ today. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, that Paul had those in his life who were models and examples to him. We pray, Lord, that today we would take these words to heart, that we would recognize that we are not where we want to be, ultimately, that we're still walking that path of faith. And may we choose to walk with those who will encourage us and lead us, Lord, in the right direction. And for some, Lord, I pray that today we might make the commitment to lead others who can say with the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. So may your word have its way in our hearts and our minds today, we ask. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather as the body once again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've done together as a body. We pray that you would take all these things, Lord, and impress them on our hearts and minds today. May our lives change as a result of what we've seen and heard and been exposed to today, we ask. And now, may grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you as you go.